Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors. At this time, I'd like to call this meeting into order. If you all follow Mark Simon in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Pease, not here. Director Graves?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Thank you very much. At this time, we will call public comments. Individual public comments are limited to 3-minute time limit. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time the item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium at the front of the room. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Anybody for public comment this evening? We'll close public comment. Move on to item C, area agency reports. Sheriffs, please.
Tony suckered me into doing this one today.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
You usually have you bring donuts on your first time.
I'll be right back. You know I'm not coming back, right?
Yeah.
Elaine, how the heck are you?
I'm doing fabulous.
Good to see you.
So Discovery Bay's been good. I don't think we've got a whole lot to look at, but you guys are welcome to take a peek at it, ask any questions you've got. There is one on there, you'll notice it says homicide. That was an error. Somebody coded that out wrong. It had something to do with a missing pontoon from the jet lifts. A missing pontoon is not a homicide, so that's an error.
All right.
Dave, I have a question. There was a posting on Facebook, maybe just clarify by starting with that, that talked about a crime spree that we're having around Timber Point School and how people were concerned about that. I hadn't heard about that before. Is there any basis for that? Or?
I'm not aware of any crime spree. Crime has been down.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And then when I see these things, it kind of makes me scratch my head, go, where are these people coming from?
And swing shift, I'm driving through there all the time, and I'm not finding anybody to even stop.
They
must have heard I was back, yes.
Exactly.
I've terrified everyone in Discovery Bay from doing wrong. we don't have any big crime wave going on.
Is the tagging up in Discovery Bay?
From what I'm hearing, tagging is up, and that was recently brought to my attention. We got finally getting the reports generated to go with that, so that we have some statistics to go along with that. From what I'm looking at, it doesn't appear to be gang activity. It's just kids, taggers, making their mark. My goal is to work on that and see if I can't hide in a couple of places. It's going to come down to the public stepping up and saying, hey, that kid's got a can of spray paint on that building. That's probably not his. I should call somebody. And we're not getting those calls.
Mm-hmm. Would a person be arrested if they were caught spraying?
They would be arrested for vandalism. If they're juveniles, they'd be released to their parent and have to go through juvenile probation, juvenile court, all that.
That sounds pretty serious. Okay.
Is $10,000 felony vandalism, is that the threshold? $10,000 in damage?
For felony?
Yeah, for tagging.
I believe it's over $1,000, $950, but I'd have to double check that.
Because a felony or misdemeanor?
Because a felony, but I would have to double check that.
Because we've certainly spent way more than $1,000.
Well, unfortunately, it's per incident. I'm sure it's not the same kid. Probably a couple that are the same, but looking at some of the images I've seen, it's different kids, different areas, making very unique, what they call monikers. It's their call sign for their tagging logo. They're just trying to logoize Discovery Bay, that's all. But please, anybody suspicious, call it in. Let us come check it out. Even if you're not sure if it's suspicious, let us come check it out. Well, that's what I get paid for.
Can you give us, if you have off the top of your head, the non-emergency number in order to do that?
Yeah. Ready for it?
Yep.
Area code 925-646-2441. Thank you. Anybody else need that again, or we're good? No, the non-emergency number, please.
All right.
The cell number doesn't work very well when I'm at Costco.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Highway Patrol, please.
Hello, board members.
How are you?
I'm doing well today. Officer Thomas with the Highway Patrol. Last month in Discovery Bay here, we had 32 sites for only speed and stop signs. Kind of usual. Three DUI arrests and three collisions out here. We had one stolen recovery. It was at the parking lot on Facebook. I know you had a question about the crash yesterday.
Yeah.
Happened out here at Discovery Bay. Three vehicles were involved. We had three helicopters come out there, two Reach helicopters and the CHP helicopter. CHP helicopter took the child that was involved in the collision to John Muir. Wasn't feeling well, wasn't playing in pain. Most of the injuries, moderate to minor injuries out there. So, I mean, they transport everyone by air, the parties, making them in the process of just kind of a head-on collision. One party veered into another lane, it appears, hit another vehicle head-on, another vehicle trying to miss it, clipped it, and hit the car. The rest of it, I really can't say too much about it. Still, I'm not the investigating officer, so it's still open for investigation.
Was that right in front of our plant? Was that in front of
Yeah, right in front of the seat.
It was right in front of the
seat. It was right in front of the seat.
Oh, okay.
Mm. It shut down. Did it run ways for a few minutes?
Yeah, it was. A
couple hours.
It shut down for
almost 2 hours.
Yeah, I think almost 2 hours.
Mm.
So a lot of people were cutting through the dirt field out there. And it was becoming a hassle because the helicopters were coming in. They didn't like all that dirt. Apparently, they want to see the power lines.
Let's go figure.
Yeah,
I wonder why.
How about the cement truck on Vasco? Word on that.
The cement truck at Vasco, I don't know anything. I think that was a non-injury collision. That was a couple days ago.
It rolled over.
It just rolled over, yeah.
And I think they did a lot of cleanup with the cement out there.
All right.
They had it cleaned up by the end of the day.
I see you were working Marsh Creek today.
I was out there in Marsh
Creek. I saw you.
I was on Marsh Creek, then I was on Newport Lafayette, and then I kind of clipper, and then kind of making some loops through Discovery Bay Boulevard.
Yeah, as I was coming down to make a left on Marsh Creek, you were yelling somebody down on the other side. You got my hat? They look really happy.
He smiles when you say that. Look at that. Look at the smile on his face. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of pride that goes into these things.
Yeah, I was in a pretty good mood today. It was April Fool's, so I was kind of having a little fun today. I gave Bromley some more verbals than I did.
Okay.
Yeah. It's April Fool's.
You know, just a heads up on during school and morning drop-off, it seems like from 7:45 to about 8:30 between that gear and Brentwood, just high-speed high schoolers, crazy.
Yeah, I start at noon technically. I try to start earlier sometimes.
Yeah.
I keep the car out here. And there's times I'll, and it's probably a couple times out of the month I'm able to do it.
Yeah.
I'll get out here around 8 in the morning,
yeah.
And that's who I'm hitting is the high school kids. You know, oh, I'm late for school. Well, 180 doesn't
make it.
Right,
you can make it, yeah.
A little bit later.
Yeah.
No problem. This heads up. Any other questions? Combos?
Thanks.
All right. Thank you for your service.
Thanks.
Take care, guys.
Fire, please.
Evening, board. I want to start off by apologizing. It's the first of the month, and our computer systems have a little April Fool's on me because I can't pull any call statistics all day today, so I don't have any calls for you, but I'll make sure as soon as we get the calls and that report gets out, I'll get it out to staff so they can get that out to you. But I still would like to go ahead and use my time a little bit, and I'm sure those that have been home already and seen the news and saw that the governor's declared a drought disaster today and that the snowpack was less than 5%. Which it brings us to the time of year that we all need to start worrying about weed abatement and taking care of our properties. Rick called me a couple weeks ago regarding the large lot right at the entrance into Discovery Bay Boulevard. We're already working with the property owner in there and a couple of the other areas that are common areas that we have problems every year. The property owners are used to waiting a little later in the season because normally we'll get some rain and they don't want to have to do it twice in the regrowth, so we're pushing them real hard this year to get it done early. I give you guys copies of the weed abatement standards of what we're asking people to do, and I left copies in the back if anybody in the audience would like that. I'm going to stick around for your discussion item tonight that you have action for regarding the benefit assessment, and I will be available to answer any questions of the board or the community when you have that item.
Appreciate that.
All right, thank you very much.
It's confusing to see weed abatement. It doesn't have to do with water. I'm looking at this going, so what bays are they starting in?
Supervisor Pifo's office. No. Okay. Moving on to committee and liaison reports, transplant, county planning, code enforcement.
There was a meeting last week, but I don't believe there was anything significant.
Special districts reports.
I think the next meeting is later this month.
Oh, good. Any presentations this evening? Thank you. Consent calendar.
I'll make a motion. Approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And we're moving on to business and action items. I'll turn it back over to General Manager, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you has to do with the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District's Benefit Assessment District. As you recall, this item came before the board back in September of 2014, September of last year. And the item was pulled because the fire district had some errors in their ballots and went back and reevaluated the situation. And so before you this evening, the town owns 39 district parcels. They range, if the assessment goes through, they range in value from $81.08 to $125.07. It would be approximately $3,800 a year for the five-year life of the benefit assessment, and that has a sunset date of June 30, 2020. So at this point in time, the board needs to provide direction to staff to take no action, to vote yes or to vote no on those 39 parcels, so we can go ahead and participate in the ballot election on that. And as Chief Henderson indicated, he's here to answer any questions that the board may have.
One question for you, Chief. In terms of whether this measure were to pass or not pass, what would be the staffing at the Bixler station?
The staffing as far as the change at the Bixler station would not change whether the benefit assessment passes or not passes. The impact that Discovery Bay would see is, do we have a total of five engines that can respond to calls? Using the auto accident yesterday, we ended up with a total of three engines and a battalion chief on scene. Without the benefit assessment, that would be all our resources across the whole district. Where the biggest impacts are, your normal medical emergencies and stuff are single resource responses. Anytime there's a fire or major accident, you're starting to use multiple resources, and that's where having those additional engines are very important. As a reminder, the district's 249 square miles. We're covering 105,000 people, so we have a lot of area to cover with very few equipment.
What would be, assuming the Bixler's open, there's one engine there, if you had a call that required a second engine, what would be the time for the second
currently with the Brownwood station closed, it's coming from Knightson's, so it's about 11 minutes behind the first engine. Without that Knightson engine, or if that Knightson engine wasn't available, the next closest engine would be coming from Balfour and John Muir Parkway, just on the other side of the bypass, and that's about 13 minutes, about 2 minutes farther than the Knightson engine is to most of the Discovery Day. Mm.
Thank you, Chief.
I'm well versed. I'm thinking that we're asking the public to support the ballot measure. I think we need to support it here just as well.
Both. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Any public comment? Yeah, I think the board needs to. I'd like to make a motion that we approve this.
I will second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Just on that, even before you walk out the door, we'll go ahead and prepare all those for signature for me in the next couple of days and get them submitted on time appropriately. So.
And they go into U.S. Mail,
right?
Because they're going to a P.O. box to a third party to do the county. And just for everybody's interest, if people are interested in watching that process, we'll hold the public hearing on Monday the 27th at 10 in the morning. Once the board decides to go ahead and call for the tabulation, the company will actually do the tabulation in the Oakley City Hall. As soon as that's over, we'll then wait until the evening, start our evening meeting at 6:30 in the evening, and we should have the ballot counts from there. Once they receive that count, it'll be the next board meeting before they just take any further action.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you tonight, this is the third time in a row, or third out of four meetings, I think, that this item has been on the agenda, and hopefully the final time. This is a proposed lease agreement between the town and the Discovery Bay Lions Club, as well as the Discovery Bay Community Foundation. At the last board meetings, the board made a number of recommended changes. Those changes have been incorporated into the draft documents before you. I believe Carol has an updated version. There was one minor change made to it earlier today that had to do with utility costs. The utility costs are very, very minor. It's a light bulb. And it would be more cumbersome to charge the leaseholder, in this case the Lions or the foundation, than the actual return that we would get from them for that monthly cost. So we recommend going ahead and just absorbing those minor expenses. The request that the board had at the last meeting were that the container, any containers located on the property, be painted the same color as the surrounding building. And so that way it blends in a little bit nicer. That the storing of hazardous materials is strictly prohibited either inside or outside of the storage building. That upon vacating the premises, including any containers and accessory structures, need to be removed. That the rental rate should be $100 per month, paid in advance annually and upfront on an annual basis. And that the Lions Club would occupy well site 4 and the foundation would occupy well site 3. Both the foundation as well as the Lions Club received advanced copies of this agreement, I believe on Friday. And I've heard back from both the president of the Lions Club as well as the president of the foundation. And other than the one minor change, they were both, the agreement was acceptable to both parties. I see the foundation is not present tonight, but the Lions are, and they may have some comments before the board.
Any discussion?
Johnny, I sent her a change, 1-3, lesser made from time to time to place, lessee made from time to time to place storage containers outside of, they should be allowed to do it. I mean, what's the definition of time to time? We're allowing to do that, we should say they're allowed to do it.
That's a silly lawyers trying to be creative in the use of our language. So rather than say that they're going to, or rather than say that they are, you say that they have the choice from time to time. They may place them out there, and it's at their
discretion. Is that a common area, or is that a...
Yeah. It's within the fence.
No, is it described as a common area, or is it non-exclusive, or how is that?
The area where the containers are placed is a common area, but it's still an area that's included within the lease. The lease includes both the building itself and the area outside of the building. At time to time, it's just an old legal term that's got to carry on, and we still perpetuate the problem.
Yeah. One thing with that, the town did reserve the right to, from time to time, store some of our equipment or materials. As we bring plant materials in, we need a place to store them, and we generally put them in either one of those locations. So there may be some dual
temporary storage
from temporary storage on our behalf occasions.
That's a month.
That's in there. It's a month-to-month lease, but it's on an annual payment basis.
All right. Any public comment?
I do have a couple things. The last meeting, we were discussing the size of the two areas, mm-hmm. and I was trying to say that the Alliance space is actually much smaller, and that's why we have the container. Just the opposite was being stated. So I went down and measured them. The space that we're in is about 250 square feet, with about 16 square feet in there of some electrical panels that are that's unusable. So it's around 235 square feet of available storage. The other building is 400 square feet, and it does have that big motor in there and stuff. So there's about 54 feet, which means there's about 350 feet of square feet of space. So it's over 100 square feet bigger than the one over. So just the opposite of what was being said last week. just for clarification, because there was some talk about we should pay more. I'm glad we're not. The other thing, at one of the earlier meetings, there was going to be some repair done to the building, some of the roofs, leaks, and so we would still like to see that repair be done. With that, we're fine with everything else that's in the agreement.
I talked to David about this the other day, and as I indicated to him, we will do minor repairs, whether it's tar paper or something along those lines. But as I also indicated, we're not going to spend $5,000 to put a new roof on the building. And so we're going to do what we can to minimize any leakage that might be in there, with doing it in a most cost-efficient manner. So, which means we'll probably do it internally in-house, one of our major sites. But we will be. David did bring that to my attention.
Yeah, and we are fully aware that you're not going to put a new roof on the building.
When are we going to do it?
Virgil and I have already started talking about it. We just need to go out and send
evaluate
these guys up on the roof to determine exactly what needs to happen. We met up there last week. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry the problem this has caused the board, but we're very satisfied that you've helped us out here.
Thanks for that.
So, any further comment, discussion?
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
I want to thank the Lions and both in the foundation, and that, you know, and I know everybody doesn't know that there's a little bit of animosity between the groups, but I have to tell you that both groups, working with staff, were very professional and very happy that this is resolved.
Item H, any informational items?
Thank you, Mr. President. As you may or may not know, today the governor is put in, it had declared an executive order for a 25% mandatory reduction, water reduction. On March 17th of this year, as I've noted you, the last board meeting, the Regional Water, State Water Resources Control Board extended the emergency draft that they had put in place in July of 2014 for an additional 270 days, along with a couple new regulations that affect everybody in the state, which one of them is the prohibition of irrigation of turf or landscaping during and 48 hours following measurable precipitation. We've all been driven down the streets on a rainy day and we see sprinklers on, and that is what that is hoping to be able to curb. The second one that affects us, that would affect us, would be if we were applying for grants and we weren't compliant, we would not be able to receive those grants until we became compliant. The biggest issue there for us is going to be Prop, I believe it's 1B, one of the water bonds from a few years ago, as it deals with the groundwater subject that's going on right now with a lot of the different groundwater water basins throughout the state. And you will have an item on the next agenda on that subject. And lastly, that our reporting requirements have become a little bit more stringent. We don't know what those are yet. However, we are currently monitoring those and submitting our compliance reports monthly. There are some things that apply to restaurant owners and servers of food establishments and hotels and that sort of thing itself that serve food, and that is that they are no longer allowed to serve water except for on request, and hotels, which don't affect us in Discovery Bay, they have to ask their visitors if they would forego clean towel service on a daily basis and do it on an occasional basis, I suppose. I do have a short video from today's briefing from the governor that I'd like to show you. It's about a minute long, if that would be okay.
I'm John Dickerson.
And I'm Meg Oliver. California Governor Jerry Brown is taking historic steps to deal with a historic drought. The last 4 years have been the driest in the state's recorded history.
As of last week, more than 98% of California is suffering from drought conditions. In some areas, it's so bad the land is actually sinking. This afternoon, for the first time, Governor Brown ordered a mandatory 25% reduction in water usage.
But one thing we know is we're standing on dried grass, and we should be standing in 5 feet of snow. That's the way it has been. We're in an historic drought, and that demands unprecedented action. It's for that reason that I'm issuing an executive order mandating substantial water reduction across our state. As Californians, we have to pull together and save water in every way we can. This executive order, which I've signed today, it's long, it covers a number of different details. In fact, I've never seen one quite like it before.
Some of the other restrictions include golf courses, cemeteries, and other large landscapes that must now be cut down on their use of water. And farmers will also have to report water use to state regulators.
Last week, Brown signed emergency legislation that fast-tracks more than $1 billion in funding for drought relief and water infrastructure within the state.
We're in an historic drought, and that demands...
The ordinance that the board passed in October of last year does not have an expiration date, so whereas the state's their requirement was for 270 days, and they're extending it for an additional 270 days. ours does not expire until this board takes an action by resolution, essentially ending the drought regulations as they were. So we don't necessarily have to take any major changes to it. I think that we're compliant with what the state's intentions are. We have our next newsletter coming out. In fact, it's going to be going to printer probably in the next 10 days or so, and the focus is going to be on the new rules and regs. So we'll have some articles on that, and we're continuing to monitor. We will be having more of our staff as they're out and about, notifying residents if they notice that there's leaks or if it is raining, to please turn off your water when it rains and remind people. So we're going to monitor it, and if there's any new regs that come out of it, we'll go ahead and bring those back to the board. At the State Office of Administrative Law, their regulations came out on Friday, and they were essentially the same that came out earlier in the month, earlier in March, and our regulations, our ordinance complies with those regulations, so I think that we're okay. I don't think we need to change them. The only change would be the 48 hours during and 48 hours after a drought. But I think the way that they read right now, and I talked to the state water board, one of the staff members, and he felt comfortable with what we have in place. So I'm not sure we need to make any changes and go through the ordinance process again. And this is just informational more than anything.
Any more discussion over here? All right. Moving on next. Thank you for the update on that.
President's report, I have nothing new to report tonight. Any director's comments?
None at this time.
General manager's report, please.
Thank you. I got three brief items. One is the urban water management plan workshop with Ludwig and Scalmanini that I alluded to a few moments ago regarding our groundwater. Our urban water management plan needs to be submitted to the state. It's in a final draft right now, and I want to make sure that the board sees it before it gets turned over to the state to review and make comments on. I would hate to see the state make some changes and then board, or not make any changes in the board, come back and want to make changes. So it's going to come to you first. Number one, and I believe that date has been selected. Carol received confirmation back for April the 14th.
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m. It's a Tuesday. So we'll have a Tuesday night meeting and a Wednesday night meeting back to back.
14th?
Yes.
Did we already talk about this?
Yes. Well, I didn't talk to you. Carol emailed the whole board.
I didn't bring those calendars. 14th of April? Okay.
Carol, you'll send us one.
Yes. Please. Yes.
Plan on probably about 2 hours for that. I think the discussion will go longer than the presentation, so depending on that. And we'll make sure we get an advance copy. We'll set that agenda out probably next week so you can get it and read through it. It's fairly voluminous, so it reads pretty quickly. The next item is, 4 weeks ago, the board asked to come back to you regarding our medical benefit situation we have with Covered California for our employees. And we're still working on it. I've been discussing with Rod. He referred me to another one of his clients, and he and I went and spoke with him yesterday. And it's a very complicated process. Any changes that we will need to make, and I do see some changes coming. We're just having a very difficult time getting the correct answers. We know that there's things that need to be corrected. We're just not sure quite yet how to do them, but we're inching closer and closer to that. So I just wanted to give you an update on that, and we'll keep you posted on that one. Lastly, the board is aware that we received a security breach earlier in the week. We are still down in some areas. Our financial systems were not breached, which is critical. The file server that was breached is a is a file server where employees share data back and forth and maintain records of documents and things like that. So, for example, our budgets are located in there. Some of our, a lot of Dana's accounting records are in there from spreadsheets and things like that. So there were 37,000 documents that we had. Of those 37,000 documents, there's probably only about 100 of them that are critical, but we definitely have to get them back. And so we're hoping to have that resolved by tomorrow if all goes well. On that same vein, tomorrow, I do have a company who was referred to us by Rod's firm that has worked with this type of cyber criminal previously. And in fact, one of their employees actually written a book on how to deal with this type of thing. And so they are coming in tomorrow, and they're going to be giving us a top-down 360 look. They're going to assess our network, look at ways to improve if any changes need to be made. And I'm just assuming they'll make some recommendations to us based on what happened. And it's an unfortunate situation that took place. And hopefully we'll get it resolved. And as soon as we do, we'll jump for joy and we'll let you know. Until then, we're operating at about 90%.
I skipped over item J, manager's reports. Any update on the community center meeting at the conference room? How's that coming along?
As I noted to the board last week in the separate correspondence, the additional 4-foot panel has been put on order. It's being manufactured. As soon as we get that in there, we'll be able to finish the wiring and the plumbing, so to speak. The internet connections for the wireless, to have stronger wireless in there, was completed over the weekend. That's all in place. All the equipment is on site, so we're just waiting for that new piece to come in and the flooring to go down. So once we get those, we should be able to move. And I'm hoping that this now. It won't be the next meeting, but hopefully within the next hour.
All right. And any update on the, how's landscaping going?
Landscaping is going okay. As you know, we transitioned from, during the course of last year, we transitioned from a completely outside contract to completely in-house services. And some of the things I've heard back are that we're doing a better job than they were in certain areas, and certain areas we're struggling in. We're struggling a little bit with the schedule. I think it's just the process of getting used to the schedule, because it's broken down into 15-minute increments, and they're being held to that schedule. And then there's times when they get pulled away because of an emergency here or there. But generally, I think they're doing a good job. You look at the boulevard, the boulevard looks better, Cooper looks better, the parks look better. One of the things I was talking to Shanae Armstrong today about would be that the guys have a sort of a, somewhat of a competition, and they each be assigned responsibility of one of the parks, and that they have to own up to that park. And while they may all work in the different parks, they would be responsible to make sure that everything is taken care of in those parks. And so that would form a little bit of competition between them, a little bit of camaraderie, as well as hopefully a better work product at the end of the day. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but we were discussing that this afternoon, actually.
And with this drought stuff, it's going to affect our turf. I think our turf management plan needs to make sure that we don't have our last get person here.
Our turf is on 2 days a week, just like everybody else is. It's been off all winter long, and so it hasn't been raining. It survived with very little water during long periods of time. So I think that twice a week, once it warms up, the intent is to not kill your lawn. Your intent is not to keep your lawn green. It is to keep it in a subsistence manner, so that when the rains do come back and the water does come back, it comes back to life without too much of a major expense for residents.
Yeah, and the dog park's looking really good, you guys. I don't know where to talk to you guys about it. It's looking really good.
The dog park's looking really good. We just sent a purchase order today to Delta Fence. Thank you, Christopher. Mm-hmm. And so we went ahead and did that today. We've been reaching out to a number of the people that have express interest, and we are actually tying the final part of the final components and the punch list items, if you will, are going to be part of the Earth Day program. So the dog park will open on Earth Day, and we've got a lot of excitement for that. We're working on some dog walks and some pet decorating contests where they dress up and that sort of thing. So we've got some things planned. The Lions Club is actually teaming up with us this year for the Earth Day, and they will be manning the beer and wine booth. So it's from 12 to 4.
Those dogs will love that.
Yeah. We seem to get better response and participation when the Lions Club have the food there.
Every day?
Yes. So thank you to David and the crew for that. Appreciate it very much.
And we're good. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Any more questions about the Easter encounter?
Can I add one more? I'm sorry.
Sure.
The board may recall, and President Steele remembers, signing a letter to Caltrans recently regarding no parking signs on Highway 4 east of Discovery Bay Boulevard down towards Stockton. We received a letter back, I want to say on Friday or Monday, that Caltrans has ordered signs and they will be installing signs. They have a work order out for them. I don't know when that they are going to be coming out. And the resident that brought that to our, we saw it and were concerned about it, but the resident that really brought it to our attention and kind of pushed for it, I sent him an email yesterday, and he was very excited about it. So we're pleased to see that happen.
I do want to say, she wasn't here tonight, but Supervisor Peoples' office was also sent letters and was instrumental in getting that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely, as it was 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Thanks for the management update. And legal, any update?
Nothing to report.
All right. See you. Any committee updates? Good. Any correspondence? Yes.
We did have two committee meetings this week, this last week. One was a community center meeting, and one was. Oh, you went there. I'm sorry. What was it? Waterway Center.
Yeah, it was different. Mm-hmm.
All right. Public records request looks. Okay, any future agenda items? All right. I'd like to call this meeting adjourned.